Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Smashbox TV's podcast 425's After Show. Here we are.
Good show.
It was a lot of fun. I'm going to celebrate.
You should, Terry.
I'm not going to lie. It's been a couple of really long weeks, and everybody on the crew, the pro tour, the players, the staff, everybody will agree, and I'm no more special than the next guy, but it's been a long, like, I think I've been gone from my residence, household, whatever you want to call it, for something like 6 out of the last 7 weeks, or, yeah, I think, like, not here for 6 out of the last 7 weeks, and that includes Sweden. That includes Bend for 3 or 4 of those weeks. So many amazing opportunities. Not complaining, certainly, but it's been a long, long journey.
Well, good thing we're in the off season now, Terry, and you know,
Shit just gets way easier.
Super slow down, right?
Yeah, not at all. I'm super excited. Not gonna lie, I am excited to go to Florida for the Chainhawk Open and some skins action there. I'm excited to go to Arizona in a couple of weeks for the Phoenix Ladies Open and supporting that event. There's a lot of things going on, and I'm super excited about those as well. But I'm also ready for a tiny, tiny little catching my breath moment just so I can go do work, like pick up 6,000 my disc in a box boxes today. And then continue to pursue that along with some inventory of frisbees and 100 other things.
When are you going to Florida?
I don't care. No, couple weeks. No, not for another month and a half.
Oh, I'll be down there. 6 weeks. I'll be down there on Halloween.
I'll avoid you.
So, yeah. Which means that
I'm there like a month after that.
The show after that Tuesday show you might be doing by yourself.
Heck yeah, finally.
I know.
Finally.
That's what you've always dreamed
of. One
of
the cool things I am doing next week, yeah, that doesn't conflict with this, is every year I go to, there's typically two shows this year because of timing, I'm only going to one of them, but every single year I go to what's essentially the trade show for all of the Wisconsin physical education, all the gym teachers. And that's a show I've been going to and manning that booth for over 20 years. And I was just explaining it to somebody the other day. That show has very much gone from, like most of you probably that are in disc golf, that show has gone from 20 years ago, like having to describe intimately what disc golf is in every detail about it to every person that looked at this goofy basket thing at my booth, to now teachers coming up to me and be like, oh, yeah. I've seen you here the last 5 years. We need to order these finally. And just this turnaround and this development. And you guys have seen pictures, whether it's Avery Jenkins or Dana Vici or the Ruscos or whomever, or Steve Rico and his brother Bamba at these types of shows. Honestly, one of my favorite things in disc golf to do. If I got fired from all media tomorrow, going to trade shows, I don't know, that's similar but different. Going to trade shows and being able to promote and sell disc golf and work with people to develop disc golf would be one of the other things I'd immediately want to jump into. So there's usually two big shows a year. There's the Phi Ed show with all the physical education teachers, where I've gotten hundreds of teachers or thousands overall. And then usually it's the week after is a park and rec show, which almost every single state has and is also very influential. That's where you see all the park and rec directors. They're walking around trying to see what should be going in their park, you know, if they have enough room, if they have enough budget, and the same exact scenario. They've gone from like, you're selling, is that a deer feeder? to like, oh yeah, this is in our budget. Let's figure out how to do this. So that's coming up next week, and I'm looking forward to that as well. So ain't got no time for rest. We got to get at it.
Let's talk about the Pro Tour finale, Terry. It is the culmination
there was a tournament.
It was a tournament. It's a culmination of our entire season. Everybody's seeded based on how they've done throughout the season. The few things dropped here and there, whatever. Either way, it's both of our one seeds won. Both of our top seeds took home the victory. Tatar in FPO and Ricky in MPO. For the first time, we saw the big dog win, not the underdog. Last year, we had the ultimate underdog story with Nathan Queen. This year, we have the ultimate
favorite.
The ultimate favorite. Yeah, that's kind of how it went. It was kind of exciting for MPO, FPO, not as much. I think FPO was a little bit more wrapped up. We had Tatar went into the final hole with a 4-stroke lead, was able to take a double bogey to end up with a 2-stroke victory. But even then, it didn't even feel that close. I watched most of that round, and it just felt like Missy Gannon couldn't really hit a putt. She was missing some things that I didn't think she normally did. And it felt like Owen Scoggins just could not get to the landing zones that the other women were getting to. Like, she just couldn't quite throw far enough in the woods, whatever she took off for. But it always felt like she was pinched up against a tree or just not able to get to a prime landing spot to give you a shot at that par four. And so she was just always scrambling. Like, it just felt like she was just barely off the fairway or like I said, 30 feet short of where you really want to be to give you a nice, easy shot at your next one. And then Valerie Mondejano just couldn't keep it together, ultimately.
No, she
just didn't play well.
Like her fellow Texan native, Bradley Williams, on the MPO side, like, they both shredded the first time we saw them on camera on the course, just shredded it. Like, it was almost not even funny how, like, easy they made it look. It was just like, yeah, we're going to pier all these gaps. We're going to hit all these lines, and we're going to show you that this is not difficult golf. And then both of them, in both of their subsequent rounds, came back and just unfortunately couldn't duplicate that effort. And there's something to be said about playing a course almost too perfectly the first time, because then internally there's this pressure of like, man, well, I birdied this last time, this hole's not that hard. And then next thing you know, you hit a tree and you're looking at a par, bogey, double bogey, whatever. And I could see how that could get really frustrating. But boy, did they both make it look so easy in the early goings. And unfortunately for them, they just couldn't duplicate the effort. So. But it was, It was. I feel like the competition throughout the weekend. At no point was I feeling disappointed, and nor should you, because you're looking at arguably the best of the best. But at no point was like, oh man, it was fun.
It was fun. It was exciting. I mean, the format's great. I think in general, the downside, I know we've talked about the differences between how the Pro Tour used to be versus how it is now. Now, every day they just take the top four scores and move them on, as opposed to win your card. I like to win your card with a wild card spot, because there was one of the days that the lead card just, I think it was day three, maybe even. No, it had to be day two. The lead card just tanked. The card we decided to follow, the best seeds, just didn't show up. And so literally going into the final hole, a hole and a half, there was no drama. We were done with the round and we had to kind of go back and like, all right, let's watch these guys finish out. So there was zero drama to that, as opposed to the win your card option where you know someone from that card is going to move on. I'm not advocating one way or the other. I'm fine with the way it is. It's just a little bit different mentality when, you know, it's like when someone off the second card wins a regular event by three strokes and, you know, you're going into the last hole and it's like, yeah, these people, there's nothing to fight for. And this time it's even less because you can't even build a story around it because they're just not moving on. They're gone. You're not going to see them anymore. At least in other events, you'd be like, oh, this person's fighting for fifth place or fourth place. They want to get X amount. It didn't matter. Like, they just literally weren't going to be there. But ultimately, Ricky won on some dramatic fashion. I kind of felt like Isaac, I don't want to say handed it to him, but just crumbled down the stretch. He could have sealed it up with, he missed three easy putts. He missed three easy putts for Isaac that he should have hit. At least two easy ones and one, I think it was just outside the circle. If he hits just two of those, or just one of those, he puts Ricky out of reach. And then Rick, just, you can't leave someone like Ricky in it. You just can't. He has a drive and a determination. He's a steamroller. You see it on the course. You see it in his attitude. He gets done with the hole and he is aggressively moving to his next position. And that's what he did on the final hole. He was down by a stroke and he birdied 18, which had only been birdied twice before. And I think I have a whole different thing about 18. And then they went to tie it up. And Gannon, of course, had an opportunity to get back in it with his eagle. And then from there, moving on, he had to birdie hole 18 as well. Couldn't get it done. So he was out of it. But then him and Isaac went to the overtime, and Ricky just steamrolled him. He birdied it again. Two amazing shots at the most pressure-filled time. That's Ricky Wysocki.
Yeah, he definitely just got it done. I mean, to see how difficult 18 played for so many people and then to see him get it back to back, you certainly feel like he went out and earned it and just cemented it or solidified it or whatever you want to say. It feels like he just went out and took it and wasn't holding back. And
that's a tough shot because you need hole 18 particularly. You need a great drive. And what we saw almost everybody do was they threw a wider hyzer and ended up a little bit more off to the right to stay away from the OB on the left. And we saw a few people that tried to take the Ricky route and come in tight and clip the little tree off on the left there. Ricky just threw two pure shots. I don't think 18 is as difficult as we're all making it up to be, as in, hey, only two people birdied this. I don't think enough people went for the birdie is really what it is. They played it more safe because you don't have to. Ricky didn't have that opportunity. He had to go for it. And so he played an aggressive line and put himself in a position where that second, because I think that second shot that Ricky threw, that forehand that he put way up there, I think a lot of our players could throw that shot. It's a 400, it's a 400 foot forehand hyzer. I think a lot of players could throw it backhand. It is a difficult shot, but I think a lot of our top players can execute that shot That's fine. But the difficult part is putting yourself in that position, because it's risky. And Ricky just took the risk and threw it away. He just went at it when nobody else was doing that. Everybody played it safe off to the right, leaving themselves almost no opportunity to get there short of a roller. Ricky didn't do that. Ricky said, I'm just going to put myself in the optimal position on my drive to give me the optimal position for an approach. And like I said, Ricky is a steamroller. You cannot let that guy into it. And he took it from Isaac.
Yeah, it was impressive. And you know, he obviously opened the door even by taking a bogey on 16 and, you know, threw a couple of terrible shots to put him in that position to fall back the way he did. And then, the way he came roaring back on 18 and then 18 again real quick, I guess it's not housekeeping, but I saw a lot of criticism, of course. And this goes with this whole new thing, and it's not new, of, God damn, can we for 1 minute not nitpick every, like, not just anything, but everything? And I think about that specifically today, because you read how it's, well, I didn't like 18. It should have went to 17, and we're talking playoff holes. It should have went to 17. It should have went to 18. It should have went to 1. It should have. Everybody's got this brilliant idea. Cool. Good for you. The trophy's good enough. No, it's not good enough. Oh, why isn't there a trophy for 4th? Well, Valerie Mundahano in the FPO was right there. They knew there was going to be 4 people. Why wasn't there a trophy for 4th? Oh, wait, never mind. I thought we hated participation trophy awards because only podium people finish and actually get trophies. Oh, wait, are the trophies good enough or are they not good enough?
There always has to be something.
Zero people then followed up, because, of course, you cannot be consistent. Zero people followed up with, well, why didn't Macbeth get a trophy for 4th? Where's Macbeth? Why didn't he get a trophy for 4th? Everybody bitched that there should have been a trophy for 4th for Valerie, but nobody said anything about how there should have been a trophy for 4th for Paul. But we're not going to keep consistent with our complaining. And I know I'm complaining about complainers. I get that. I am just so sick and tired of every single decision of any kind that gets made has to be completely scrutinized and then destroyed upon. And I know this sounds really dumb. I know it does. But it feels like somehow it's actually getting worse. And maybe it's just been a long season and I'm sick of reading D-bag comments. And I'm not saying you should never have an opinion, but goddamn, you don't have to complain about every single decision, every single minute of every single day. And I just feel like that's where we're at. And it's hilarious how many trophy conversations there's been this year. And then, of course, it continued into the Pro Tour Championship this weekend. Mm-hmm. And I think, again, the irony or the inconsistency of saying that Valerie should have gotten one or 4th place should have gotten one, but no one said it when Paul. And Paul, let's be fair, Paul would have launched the team. He went to littered, but like... metaphorically would have launched it out his car if he gotten a 4th place trophy. He doesn't care.
Some kid would have gone home with a really cool souvenir.
Yeah, but Isaac maybe will proudly display his, as he should, because Isaac's in a different position than Ricky or Paul at this point in his career. And I don't begrudge him for that at all. He should. But God, with just the nonstop, you know, complaints about everything. And I think my problem with the complaints is just that they're so inconsistent. We really are fired up this weekend about this particular thing, but the next weekend with a different person at a different course is something totally different. So real quick to throw it out there, I've been informed, because I'm not a huge golf nut, I've been informed that it's very common to have a playoff start on 18. Often it's a par 4. It's a difficult hole. And guess what? The gallery's already kind of there, right?
Which is why a lot of golf tournaments do that as well. The complaint is
that's what I mean. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, The complaint is that that now, hole doesn't represent the course.
Okay.
I kind of understand that. Like, I get it. You play 17.
You had to play all effing 18 holes.
I know, but you play 17 holes of pretty heavily wooded golf, and then there's one open hole, which still required a technical shot, by the way, like I just explained, and you start them on 18. Now, you and I both understand why you start them on 18. The crowd's already there. Moving everyone to hole one is miserable because, A, it's a 240 foot.
It could be a half mile away.
It's a 280 or something foot uphill shot.
And but whatever.
Was it 220? I don't know. Whatever it was.
320.
Or 320. Whatever it was. It was uphill. There's not a lot of spectating viewing. It was done for spectator reasons, clearly. You have people there. More people can watch. We heard Sean Jack say that he was hanging out by the catch cam, probably an optimal position for almost anybody, and he still couldn't get great shots, great views of it. So I understand why they did it on 18. I understand the complaints that, you know, you pick, again, the one hole that doesn't match the rest of the course, but
cool. Win it on 17 then.
I agree. I agree. I have no problem with the decision. I have no problem with the decision. I understand why people are complaining about it, but I don't necessarily agree.
As long as it was predetermined before the tournament started,
yeah,
which it has to be. Otherwise, I believe the default is hole one. And then we had this whole conversation about at Maple Hill, they were going to get a waiver, blah, 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 but it didn't get in time. Mm-hmm. So that's why the default is to go to hole one. Which is also per PDGA competition manual, is the default. I believe, I could be wrong, I'm usually not, but I believe that it is assumed that a playoff starts on hole one unless mm-hmm. otherwise stated, and if there's even additional statements to that, like a cumulative score, like they were talking about originally, then you have to have a waiver for that and get that approved. But otherwise, the default is to go to hole one. This case, they clearly had it stated ahead of time that it was going to go to 18 and then one.
And then two.
18.
I think it's 18, one, two,
17, four, 17.
17, yeah. 18 or something like that. I think it repeated.
I don't remember what it was. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's just like, they just handed it to Ricky. They just handed it, like, by going to that hole, they just handed it to Ricky. No,
Isaac.
No bias in having it on that hole.
Isaac could birdie that hole if he tried to be aggressive like Ricky. If he tried to cut that corner, because that was a sharp dog leg left. Isaac got maybe the unfortunate position that he had to throw first on 18. And he did the exact same thing that he did during the round. He played it a little bit more safe, a little bit wider hyzer off towards the stuff on the right. When you put yourself over there, you do not give yourself an opportunity at a birdie. It is virtually impossible short of a perfect roller because you have to play underneath of those low-hanging branches. You can't get the distance to get out there and power hyzer. It's probably Eagle and Anthony Borella are the only people in the world that could go in that right position and throw a low, hard shot and get there with the power that they have. Ricky, as we said, he got to see what Isaac did and said, cool, guess what? I'm going to just do what I did 10 minutes ago. And he played an aggressive route, which gave him a much bigger opening. And then he was able to throw his power forehand. If Isaac puts himself in Ricky's position, I think Isaac can get there with a backhand, get inside that circle to give himself a putt. You know, Ricky played the forehand because it goes away from the OB. He didn't have to worry as much about flipping it over. The forehand is a safer shot than the backhand there. But again, you put Isaac where Ricky was, I think Isaac can push that hole, but Isaac didn't put himself there. Isaac played for what he had played the rest of the round for.
Because we started on 18.
And again, so it's not, I disagree with the fact that we gave it to Ricky because of distance. I completely disagree. Yeah. Like that's, and that's just not.
I'm not sure if you're, I'm reading off the board here. Former American Idol.
Nice.
what are you, Clay Aiken? He says Jeff Spring flips a disc, winner gets trophy. Oh, you're suggesting that.
I think he's being facetious.
There he is. No, somebody else said something about the coin flip by Jeff Spring went as poorly as possible. I don't know what you mean by that, Ray.
He flipped a coin over by the T area and it flipped and it went, unless he meant it went as poor as possible for Isaac. That's possible. Like if you're Isaac, you probably want to go second there on that particular hole.
Sure, maybe, but I don't. Yeah,
because if you see Ricky get aggressive and be in bounds where he lands, then you know you have to be aggressive. Like I get that,
maybe,
for sure. Like I understand the concept. And then if it goes, you know, if it goes to hole one, I saw people like, well, yeah, if it went to hole one, Isaac would have, because Ricky, I'm like, no, Ricky birdied it that last round. He double bogeyed it. I think he birdied it the last round. And because he bogeyed it or double bogeyed it something.
Yeah, first round.
The first time he played.
He was there.
Because he was the only person to bogey it to move on in the entire tournament. He was the only person to bogey that first hole and still move on and still move on to the next thing. Oh, did he par it on the final round?
He parred it. That's what I thought. Okay. He parred it second round or the second time he played it.
Okay, I'm sorry.
But nonetheless.
I thought
he went bogey par. He went one over.
Yeah, that doesn't guarantee Isaac anything. Like, just... Because as we know, Ricky is a competitor. Ricky would probably walk up to hole one and be like, cool, I'm going through all the trees. Literally, I'm going to chop them down. I'm going to go through them. Because that's what Ricky does.
Knife.
Yeah. And so...
Yeah,
I don't have a problem with the playoff hole. That's fine. Whatever. It everybody knew it was coming.
Predetermined.
Isaac,
if you don't want to be in a playoff, beat the competitor before the playoff hole.
Isaac should have won it two other times during that round and put Ricky out of reach, and he just didn't. He choked away some putts. And that's unfortunate because Isaac is a really good putter, and the pressure, I think, got to him.
When he airballed one hole, you're like, huh? Like, I think I said my phrase was like, that's got to be like nerves.
That's pressure.
Like,
that's
unlike
nerves.
Any other.
Like,
yeah.
Because you're thinking for him, that $30,000 is a year's worth of winnings.
Yeah.
Like that is going to double. And on top of that, there's got to be something in the back of your head thinking, God, if I win this, I'm probably going to get a disc. That's going to be another 10, 15, 20 grand in royalties, a cool special pro tour disc, champion disc, and this and that. And the pressure is immense. I can't even fathom it. You know, which is what we're going to see, hopefully, at the GK Pro Skins. Same type of pressure when somebody has to go up for a $30,000 or $40,000 putt. You know, a difference in whatever it's going to be. I hope we see some of that. So, I mean, Isaac played well. He's going to be a competitor for the next bunch of years. And as will Ricky and Gannon and Paul. That's the way it works. But I thought the course was fine. I think I would have rather see him play Rennie. Spectator wise, I think Rennie Gold could have probably fit more spectators in. I think as everyone said, that course, as great as the course was, I think Nevin is a better course. But if you want to include everything like spectators and all that other stuff, I think Rennie would have worked out better because it's a little bit more open. But you get what you get when, you know, whatever happened, they didn't know. They found it a month ahead of time that they were going to have to go to Nevin, you know? So there were some issues with, I don't know, obviously availability and whatnot. So maybe Rennie Gold wasn't even available to them. I just think in the Charlotte area, if you can't play Hornet's Nest, then Rennie makes sense for spectators, but I don't care. They all played the same 18 holes and it was fun to sit back and watch from our perspective. Cameras have great angles almost every time.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I was just reading off the board. Dan Harbeck says Isaac is a talented player, top player, rookie of the year. There's some voting and some finalization. Again, everybody's got their own FN award show. We should come up with Smashy Awards.
Isaac is I think he's locked for the DGPT Rookie of the Year, but he's not because he doesn't qualify for the PDGA Rookie of the Year. That's
for PDGA, yeah.
That's Burridge, I think. Robert Burridge.
That sounds correct.
I think that's right. But he's not the Smashbox Rookie of the Year because we have a whole different criteria.
Oh, no, because We're going to make up some other random stuff.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. I mean, for us, it's a combination of push-ups, sit-ups. It's basically the presidential physical fitness challenge. But
like when you were 10.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but you have to. Yeah, but you can't be larger than a 10-year-old. That's the deal for rookie of the year.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm sorry.
There's a couple guys in the running for that.
It's funny because Emerson Keith wins it every year.
I know that guy.
Damn him.
We'll see how it all shakes out. But yeah, plenty of voting and other silly things that are coming about here soon. Ray says, Prodigy looked dead in the water during the offseason with Dickerson leaving, and they had three big names emerge, Isaac, Gannon, and Alden. Yeah, all clearly all three of them have stepped up in their own ways. I'm not going to say that I heard some numbers for some players on that team, but they sounded embarrassingly low, but I did hear that. But we'll move on.
Well, I can understand that. Like, the guys
we had correct. On, you've got
the guys we unproven had on, we're all, young they're all rookies. Guys. You know, you... Going into this year, you had Gannon Burr, who was the most proven because he proved pretty decent at the end of the year that he was going to be a competitor. But that could have been a flash in the pan. You don't know. Alden Harris, who really hadn't done anything. Isaac Robinson, who hadn't, you know, he showed a glimmer here and there last year, but really he was just coming out of college. Everyone kind of knew he was a good player, but we didn't know if he was a great player. There's a ton of good players in our sport. And then you've got Gavin Babcock, who still hasn't proven he's a great player. He's an okay player. As we said, he took top 15 at all the majors, but there were pro tour events. He just didn't flat out. I don't think he took top 50 at some of them. And so to me, going into the season, it makes sense that some of those players might only be making $20,000, $30,000 at most. But again, they're rookies. If Gannon has another year on his contract. Now, if I'm Prodigy, I'm probably talking to Gannon right now about scrapping the old contract and writing a new one where he's going to get paid. Because you don't want him to go to free agency, in theory, because he is probably the hottest, youngest player that has a lot of... he's got 10 probably just really good, barring injury, solid years on him. And hopefully you're doing that with Isaac as well, because I think Isaac is probably the next best behind Gannon. You're talking about something, and it makes a lot of sense that they're not making Kevin Jones money, because Kevin Jones, and who had a horrible year. But, you know, that's, you know, Kevin was a proven commodity. He's a great disc sales. He's got a huge fan base. I'm never going to say someone doesn't deserve their money. You know, he earned it. He earned it by his previous years. And I think Gannon is doing the same thing this year. He's earning the next big contract he's going to get. So the question is Prodigy going to be able to keep them all? Can they keep all three or four of those guys? I don't know. Do they want to? There's a whole bunch of new things that are coming to place. These guys are all really young. And suddenly when you find out, you know, let's just play pretend we're 2 years in the future. Gannon's making $200,000 a year. Isaac's making $120,000 a year. Alden's making $50,000 or whatever those numbers are. Is there jealousy? Is there bitterness? Do you feel like you've earned something? You know, does Alden deserve what Isaac had gotten? They both won a pro. Well, I guess not true, because Isaac won a silver series. Isaac won a pro tour. Alden won a silver series. You know, there's so many different ways to weigh and measure who sells what, you know. Does Alden Harris, because of his YouTube channel, sell more discs than Gannon?
Yeah.
I don't know. Those are all discussions that are going to have to be had. They're all discussions that they're going to work on, and I'm sure they're all already talking about it. I guarantee it.
Yeah. Spot Kaiser asks, I noticed AJ Risley on camera duty. Is he done touring? As of right now, you know, I had a conversation with AJ. He did some work with me back at around Pro Worlds time briefly. And then he's been working for the Disc Golf Pro Tour for the last few weekends, the Tour Championship, along with one or two other events, including Worlds, including GMC or Maple or MVP. He was at one or not the other, but because he had a family thing. Anyway, long story short, he's doing stuff with the Pro Tour as of now. I had a conversation with him at one point, and he said, yeah, I'd still love to play golf. It's just that's continues to be very unknown. So until then, I think it's awesome that he's able to be involved and do, you know, media related work with whomever in the meantime. But I'll say that's where his touring life, so to speak, is at as of right now. But if he had his way, he'd be playing professionally, you know, come next year. It's just a matter of will the wrist go for it. Kelvin had bids for his contract. Do you think Innova paid him six figures, like $300K a year? Well, six figures, which obviously would indicate a bare minimum of $100K, and then 300. I would say, do you think Innova paid him six figures? If they did, I'm gonna say, even though it's an NDA on it, and I gave him a hard time about it, and he didn't reply to me.
Because he knows you have a big mouth.
Should have ignored me. Rightfully just ignored me in general.
Yes.
On that one. But yes, he's for sure getting six figures. I'm just going to say that, and I'd better frisbee on it. Now, if that's 250, 300, or $999,999, I don't know. But he's definitely getting six figures.
I would bet two discs that over, because he signed a 5-year agreement, that he will make over $2 million in the next 5 years.
Yeah, that seems like a safe bet.
Because I'm sure.
Gives you a little wiggle room, but probably a safe bet for sure.
Yeah, because I think that he just got the signature Toro, which Innova rarely gives people signature discs unless they win Worlds. You know, Ricky had the signature Destroyer, but Kelvin had the Toro, which was kind of built around him. And so that means that every Toro sold, he gets a cut. He gets a portion of that disc. I thought he had one more signature disc too, maybe.
He's had a Destroyer.
Yeah.
And then there's always constantly this conversation about an Eagle or not. But Halo Destroyer.
But I don't know enough about Innova. Is every Halo Destroyer a Kelvin disc or just a run of Halo Destroyer disc? Does he get a specific?
I think they are right now. They're all Kelvin.
They're all. Okay. So right now they're all.
I believe so.
So, I mean, having the Halo Destroyer is a pretty good deal, I'm sure.
Presumably.
And so I'm willing to bet that between those two signature discs, I don't think he's making $500,000 or $600,000 a year flat. He could be.
He should be.
I think he should be based on everything else. And maybe he is. But I do think that with bonuses and disc sales, I think my $2 million is a safe bet. Which means he owes us dinner.
Yeah, Kelvin. I wish I had him with me. Me and Kelvin made a little trade recently. And boy, oh boy. Do I have some goodies? But
you keep saying that. They've told us like three times.
No. But I finally got the discs.
Oh.
And like I gave him some, but now I got some in return.
Oh.
And they're tasty, but they're at storage. They arrived at storage.
In general, what are they? Like Destroyers?
Some Destroyers, some Firebirds, some very rare stuff.
Cool.
I'll take pictures and then not sell them to you guys.
No, I don't want them.
Let's read a few more things off the board. Dynamic wanted him in 2020, 2021. Ricky was in the picture. Yep. Halo Destroyers are surely bringing in the bank.
Somewhere
Dracos
out there.
Are becoming more popular. Is somewhere a Draco out there, just a Firebird?
I have no clue.
I think
somewhere
it is.
Out there, there's video of Kelvin warming up with all the DD guys before the season, before he signed his contract. Because it was literally that close that Vinny was almost ready to sign with DD, and they'd started to make some marketing stuff, and then things changed. Plans changed.
So. Speaking of double G jerky, I should have some right now.
You should have brought some.
Smashed.
Over here.
Crack pepper. This actually does have a little ounce of a segue. Not the 5 ounces of jerky you could get. I guess the Eagle McMahon... vegan jerky is no longer a thing.
Hmm.
Because Eagle McMahon is no longer vegan.
So the
jerky that they specially ran for him, they are, I think, selling it out, and then and that will be the end of the line.
Eagle is no longer vegan. Is he vegetarian now? Is he going to?
Nope.
He's eating meat.
Nope.
Products,
he's eating steaks. Yeah.
Oh, is he did he go right from vegan to cat's carnivore diet? Just like a flip flop.
Yeah. Now he's sponsored by Johnsonville.
Oh, nice.
Let's sidetrack to that quickly. Out of my ramblings, which will continue.
Go for it, Terry.
Eagle McMahon makes a public announcement saying, guys, I'm not, due to my health and due to my recovery for 2023, I am not playing at the USDGC and I'm not going to the Pro Tour Championship, of which I've qualified for.
2022.
I'm not doing either of those events. Well, yeah, correct. He's not doing the 2022 USDGC and he's not doing the 2022 Disc Golf Pro Tour Championship. I'll see you in 2023. I'm on the road to recovery. Until a few days ago, and he says, guys, I think the exact phrasing was, I got an offer I couldn't refuse. And I was going to bring this up with the GK Pro guys, but then we got sidetracked a million other questions, understandably. And he said, I got an offer I couldn't refuse. I'm going to the skins match. Well, Papa.
What kind of offer?
Let me quote. I thought I was done for the year, but I got an invite to an event I couldn't refuse. I'll be heading to Missouri next week to play in the Big Money Skins match at the amazing Eagles Crossing course. My body is feeling good, and I can't wait to play one of the best courses in the world. There's a link to Big Money Skins, ###.
What kind of money? Now, I would be curious if it's like an offer he can't refuse. An appearance fee covering costs, just getting into the event, is that like motivation enough that you have the chance to win $50,000, the biggest purse in theory and disc golf,
but biggest.
What was that?
I said non-sanctioned but biggest.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, biggest in modern history of disc golf. Like, is that enough to drive you, quote unquote, out of relaxation mode? Or is there an additional, I don't want to say under the table because that sounds shiesty, is there additional appearance fee that he's getting on top of getting the opportunity to play for this $50,000 skins match? And then I think he won European Open. He's not playing USDGC. He didn't play USDGC. He didn't play the Pro Tour, both of which had the opportunity to win $20,000 and $30,000. I don't understand the reasoning as to forego the two majors, well, the major and the finale, to play an unsanctioned skins match. Like, I just don't understand the reasoning. Like, if you don't want to play the other big money events, okay. But you're going to play this big money event, and yeah, but, I mean, maybe 2 weeks ago he didn't feel ready for it, and clearly you can't. Most of the time, you can't just sign up last minute and show up with the Pro Tour Championship. He could have. He earned a play-in spot that he didn't go, but maybe he knew it was Nevin and it was a really wooded course, and he didn't want to play a wooded course. Eagle, you know,
yeah,
I don't know the reason.
And or he felt like, hey, I can go play Eagles Crossing without a forehand, and therefore, yeah, sign me up.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know.
Here's what I'm going to say about it, and I'd love to have him on the show. I'd love to talk to him. I'm, at bare minimum, I'm shocked. I'm a little surprised that he would make the statement he did, you know, a few weeks ago saying, hey, guys, I'm done for 2022. I'm going to focus on 2023. I loved it. I'm all about it. Like, I think that's a bold and even brave move of like, you know what? I'm going to skip the two biggest paychecks of the year and I'm going to prep for 2023. Okay, there's nothing I can do but support that. I can't second guess any of his health conditions or whatever he's working on. But then, as we're literally in the middle of the Pro Tour Championship weekend, he says, "Well, wait. I'm going to go to this other big money event." Again, I'll go ahead and say, I think he's one of the few players where 50 grand is not life-changing to him. 100 grand is no longer life-changing to him. It is for hundreds or thousands of other disc golfers. To him, it is not. I am shocked that Eagle would put himself in the position. And then you have to wonder, and I have no insider knowledge of this, you'd have to wonder, do any of his sponsors care? And primary, I guess, being Discmania.
Discmania.
Do any of them care? Yeah, I mean, you know, Backstage or Organics, I'm not sure they really care.
It's just weird, whomever, that you choose to represent yourself at an unsanctioned skins match and not at one of our majors.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's all.
Or near majors.
Yeah, or near major or whatever. I don't know. I'd be curious to ask him what his thought process is on it. Like, why did you choose this one? And maybe he just thinks maybe he knows the clerks because he's played it and he understands, hey, I know I can get by just throwing a bunch of backhands. I don't have to even think about throwing a forehand, as opposed to Nevin, which probably, as we've seen, sets up pretty well for a lefty and a forehand and more accurate. Sure. And it's a wooded course, which isn't necessarily Eagle's strong point. And USDGC, which we've known for a long time, tends to be a lefty friendly course or forehand friendly course. And, you know, Eagles tried, you know, USDGC and broke his hand.
So, yeah. So maybe there's some emotional trauma there that he just doesn't want to set himself up for. Now, Ray has said it twice, so I'm going to read it. Ray says, I don't know. Quote, I don't know. I think a guarantee 25K speaks for itself. Like someone else said, maybe long-term naming or likeness situation, end quote. Ray, you can confirm that what Eagle's quote-unquote appearance or appearance fee is 25K for this? Because that would be news to me. And I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm just saying that would be news to me.
Yeah, well, we know the gentleman that owns Eagles Crossing has the monetary.
He has at least tens of dollars.
He's got a few bucks. He's got some pennies that he found in his couch cushion, and
they were polished.
Know. That would be. He says no, okay, I cannot.
So Ray's just talking out of his ass, saying no, I cannot. I cannot confirm.
I was going to say because that would be some news.
Of course. Now, if there's an appearance, there might be a guaranteed appearance fee. He might be getting $1,000. He might be getting all of his expenses paid plus $1,000. He might be getting $2,000, $5,000. He might be getting $10,000. I don't think he'd get any more than $10,000. But let's just say he's getting some guaranteed appearance fee money. We'll just randomly pick a number and say $5,000. Great. $5,000 with a chance to win 50 more. Maybe that's the scenario. I honestly have no idea. That's still fine and dandy. I just think it seems a little out of character for Eagle to forego a major being the USDGC, a relatively open course that could be potentially, I don't know how much different it is than the European Open, that could be potentially won backhand exclusively. And he says, no thanks, but yep, sign me up for the suburb of St. Louis. I'm going. It strikes me as odd. That's all.
No, I'm with you. I don't understand the reasoning, but again, that's something maybe we'll get to hear Eagle talk in one of the interviews on the broadcast and figure out maybe he'll explain what his mentality was behind it.
Yeah, Dust says, and this was talked about this weekend among a few of us in Ben. Dust says, maybe it's a mental thing. The major and such brings pressure. Skins match is just for fun, no pressure. 100%. Sure. And let me be very clear. I'm not second guessing Eagle's decision. I don't.
Well, you kind of
are. In the most polite way, I don't give an F what Eagle does. But it is an interesting turn of events when he makes a very deliberate choice. Effort to say, I'm not playing. And then he says, whoa, 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 whoa. There's this big thing going on that I can't miss, so I will be playing.
And maybe, and again, maybe it's just that. Maybe it's literally just like, hey, this has never been done before. I want to be involved in it.
Yeah.
I don't. Eagle can do whatever the hell Eagle wants.
Of course.
I'm just curious as to why.
Dan, he's no longer just young, though. He's been around long enough. I hear what you're saying. You
he's
say
like 24.
Eagle is young. Eh, he's not like a young, naive, sheltered idiot, you know, 14 or 18 year old anymore. Like, he's been around. He knows what he's doing. And whatever it is, I'm good with. But he knows what he's doing. I'm not giving him the young moniker or excuse anymore. They make you eat a piece of bacon on the first hole of the USDGC. That would be very specifically oddly weird, and they do not.
And Terry would Terry be at the first tee earlier. For every single card.
Nah, I don't get all hyped up for bacon like, you know, the other trendy people.
Bacon
out there.
Is so yummy, though. It's very good.
It's fine. Yeah, I'll take it or leave it.
Oh, no, I'll always take it. Like, I don't,
nine I'm times not... out of ten, it's gross and thrown out at the last second so they can charge you $2 more.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Bacon's usually pretty good.
Anyway, bacon avocado toast. I hear you, Spock, sir. Mm-hmm. That sure. I will not go out of my way for it.
I don't like avocado.
You're like,
bacon's yummy.
What? All the stuff you like and dislike, avocado? You don't? Yeah, and I really do? Like, that's weird.
I don't really like avocado. Like, I don't I don't mind it. Like, obviously, I don't mind guacamole, which is basically avocado. But it's like, I can take it or leave it. If I never eat it again, I wouldn't be sad. But if it's around, I'll use it as a dip.
Oddly asks, and this isn't his first time, Terry, let us know when you renew your DGN contract for next season. Okay. technically, this would be a new contract season this upcoming year. And if I keep saying dumb shit, I might not get a contract offer.
Listen,
that's reasonable.
You nailed the Barbasol. Put it on your face.
Put it on your face.
Well, now that Sean Jack's gone, I can say all the other ones that we were making up for Barbasol in the control room.
I think it would be like Barbasol. No, wait. I had one just come to me a moment ago. It'd be Barbasol with that guy you call daddy. No,
that's creepy.
No, something about because my dad used to use Barbasol.
Yeah, and that's what I was. That's the joke. I was like, Barbasol. It's the reason for the rusty ring. Like, that's what I think of in the shower. Like, you get that rusty ring from the Barbasol can that's been in there forever, or like
which is now rust free.
I'm sure, but that's
they've made it a point. Like on their website, it says like no longer.
Yeah, no, I get it. Like Barbasol. In your grandpa's closet, you know?
Barbasol, for that guy you call daddy. No, maybe.
No,
I don't know.
No, that's still creepy, Terry. Still creepy. Anytime you use the word daddy, it's creepy.
Yeah, for that guy you call daddy.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Barbasol.
I don't know.
Shave other places. You know?
Cover them all. All right. You need a disc dyeing tutorial. Yeah, the problem is Johnny nor I know how to really dye discs with Barbasol. No. I just know it happens. And I was very quickly corrected this weekend. Just so you know, most dyers don't use shaving cream anymore. Thank you. I appreciate that.
Depends on what you're going for. Depends on the look you're going for, I think, but sure.
Sure. Barbasol, given a clean shave from top to bottom. Pretty good stuff. I use it. Are you a part of the DGPT on tour docu series, Terry? They checked in with me at Worlds for, I don't want to say a few minutes, for an hour. Will various silly things I said make it into various parts of the docu series? Maybe. There was never like a sit down. This is a docu series conversation. There was instead at Worlds, hey, let's sit down and talk about stuff. And I feel like that might get spread into a few pieces of the docuseries. Maybe, maybe not. I honestly don't know. Like, I can't stress enough. I have no idea.
Barbasol.
So
reenact Varsity Blues. I'm just saying. lots of yeah, opportunities.
I don't want your life.
Terry, can we get you to reenact Varsity Blues with the Barbasol?
I got some ideas.
Okay. I mean, as long as you're not recording and you're away from me.
Tim says, pretty sure that was whipped cream.
I'm sure it was, but you can still reenact it with Barbasol, Tim. I've never seen the movie. I've only seen clips of it. I'm just saying.
James, was that James Vanderbeek? I don't want your life.
I don't want your life.
Yeah. Anyway, no. We don't want to get too silly over there. Yeah, I mean, if I think back, the only takeaway from that entire conversation with Sean Jack was that I should get paid more. is the only takeaway that I heard from him. Now, Sean very graciously did say that he, kind of like he said tonight, he sent me a text today that said, hey, thanks for adapting to Barbasol quickly and going along with it all, even though it was last moment and whatever. And like, to me, it was a lot of fun. It was a lot of, in fact, I'll follow that up by saying I was actually disappointed that I didn't randomly have more puns and or plays on the idea of a shaving cream or a shaving.
I think it's tough because Barbasol doesn't sound like another word, so you can't make, so it's hard to make a pun. And
yeah, but just shave it, like whiskers, shaving,
trimming, I can
beards,
see it, you know.
Yeah, I was a little disappointed.
You could have done a little bit better, but
yeah. Y'all should try the 1919 Barbasol. It's legit good non-foam shaving cream. Barbasol, shaving off strokes. Yeah, I mean, again,
shaving strokes is usually like a term they use for like when you're gambling and you're throwing points, but he shaved some strokes, but.
Yeah. John Madalone or Madalone. So it's very late to the show. Kristen Tatar put on a clinic this year. I'm excited to see how FPO field handles the offseason. Yeah, we didn't even really talk about that. But yeah, Kristen obviously dominated and played really well. I guess Johnny quickly did. One of my highlights, though, is in route, I had a layover in Chicago. And in route, I saw Evelina had posted and said something about going home and that she was at the O'Hare Airport, which I was heading to. I'm like, holy cow, that's crazy. I'm going to keep my, and I'm coming into the international side of O'Hare. I'm like, oh my God, there's a very legitimate chance based on the timing of her post and me arriving, I might see Evelina Salonen. So I'm walking through the international terminal at O'Hare, my eyes are peeled. I'm definitely looking for Henna and Evelina. Don't see them. And finally, I'm like, I'm not going to go out of my way to go search down a couple other terminal or gates, even though I think had I walked down just a few more gates that were out of my way, I would have for sure probably seen them. But I'm just about to go to baggage claim, sitting there with just literally a line of bags. Kristen Tatar.
Well, those are her trophies.
Which is kind of. Yeah, but well, it's all bags. Trophies. And then there's literally like a grocery bag kind of thing. Or like a reusable grocery bag that's got the Disc Golf Pro Tour points trophy like that she got weeks ago at MVP. And there's that. And there's another trophy upside down resting inside of that one. She had like packed to the gills. She's got all these bags. And she even said something like, these are all like my carry-ons. Like I got to pay extra for all these. I'm like, yeah, what a good problem to have. You literally have too many luggage items because you're bringing home bags full of trophies. Like just to be fair, most people don't have these problems, Kristen. These are Kristen Tatar problems. And so it was just awesome. Like, and I know Kristen and Silver relatively well, not super well, but I know them pretty well. And so I sat and talked to her. If you saw my Instagram, I did a little Instagram story with her. And I said something about, yeah, like I expected to see Evelina and Henna. She's like, oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. She's like, we just saw them a little while ago. And they were obviously all about to get on different flights. And then after chatting with her for a few minutes, which is just, I know this sounds silly and I see her a lot, but the fact that I was just in Bend commentating on her down in Charlotte and then we're meeting in Chicago is kind of this cool experience. And so I sit and talk to her for a moment, and then she points over to Silver, who was standing in line ready to get food. I walk over to Silver so that I could say goodbye to him officially, also do a little quick Instagram with him. And as always, they're like super gracious and kind and whatever. But it was really cool. It was fulfilling and awesome to see them kind of as they're, you know, sending them back to Estonia. And now with all of that, there's an ending here. I want to host like the Kristen Tatar Open, where we add like $3,000 or $4,000 to the purse, and then she wins just so she can get past Wysocki as, again, being the sole money winner for the year. Because we keep saying like, okay, well, you know, money winner, blah, blah, blah. You could still have another sanctioned tournament.
That's interesting because she could go overseas and play another event or two.
I asked her, and that's not in her plans.
Okay.
But I said, I pitched it to her. I'm like, what if I come over, though, and run like a tournament and get a ton of added cash
just to FBO. You'll then win. There's no money for MPO added. It's all FBO.
Just so you'll win it. So you'll have and she smiled and she really liked that idea. So I don't know if I got enough sponsors and if somebody wanted to send me to Estonia for a 1 day C tier so she could win like $3,500 or whatever she needs, I think it would be hilarious to have her get past Wysocki. And I'm not even picking on Wysocki. I just think it'd be amazing to have a woman have this single season, you know, earnings, you know, officially in the record book for a year.
For a year. Yeah. Because
I get it, but
assuming disc golf
still
keeps
be
going.
Awesome.
No, I agree. I think it would be kind of cool.
And it'd be funny that I traveled to Estonia just to run. I run a flex start that's got $4,000 added and Kristen wins. Oh my God, that would be even better. Run a flex start.
Yeah.
Anyway, I mean, it would count. So
it would count.
All right. Let me read a couple of notes and then we're going to start wrapping this. Apparently, I got to get up with my kids in the morning. So I'm the only one home. All right. Curious how many FPO players try to develop beforehand.
How many are going to try over the offseason is, I think, what they're saying.
I mean, I think all of them to some degree have either are trying or will try. The question is how confident will they be that they actually like display it? And David John said, did Jeff Spring make an ESPN announcement? Not in any official capacity.
I don't believe there's any ESPN thing going on this year.
I think you're wrong, but we'll see. Seems really smart. Always a smile. Yes. I assuming you're talking about Kristen. Yeah. She was so gracious and so kind. It was just awesome running into her at the airport. I'm watching this from the start. The Eagles Crossing question. What about why the dude is into investing got really weird. Luke says land did the work. Then I don't know what you're trying to say. He fell in love with disc golf, found COVID, cash. Fell in love with disc golf, and has an absurd amount of money. Like, if we're really paraphrasing. And is doing big things for golf. That's what I could say. Then the other guy cuts in saying he leveled Earth with big machines. And Terry is laughing almost. It's just weird. I'm not saying I don't say weird shit. Maybe. But yeah, he was not shy about spending any money. And that's where I heard like the $6 to $7 million thus far invested, landscaping and everything else that's gone along with it. And it sounds like that's no big deal for him, which is awesome. She made a powerful statement, meaning Kristen. She certainly did. Super callous, fragilistic. Yeah. Kristen was an amazing individual. We met at 2019 European Open. Glad to see her success. Gotcha. Ray talks about the money investing. I remember spectating my first disc golf event, 2019 Peoria, Lake Eureka. I was so pumped to see hole one over the shot. Winnings are still number one. Did Estonia at...
I love it when you read questions, but you really just like you don't read them pre like ahead of time? You just like
pre-read? No, I read them like real time. Yeah, you're right.
And then half the time
I trail off.
You trail off, and it's a babble, and no one has any clue what you're talking about.
Well, it's like that. Either question was either already addressed in a previous statement, or
that's why you pre-read them, Terry.
Oh no, I don't got time for that. I
ain't got time for that. All right, Terry, let's give something away tonight. We have 161 people eligible for our Patreon giveaway tonight. Let's do a giveaway. I've got a disc member disc in a box that is waiting to be given away, Terry.
Let's do it.
What number
pick that it corresponds with the amount of trophies Kristen's won this year.
Oh, like, gosh, that's all of them.
Yep.
She trophied at every event, Terry. Assuming they gave out trophies for the top three, she trophied at every event.
Yeah. Okay, so that's not going to...
Did you fill out... real quick, did you fill out your DGPT media portion? I already did it. I did it right away and I was done.
I got time for that.
It's like 6 questions. It's pretty simple.
That'll take me too much time.
Ranked choice voting.
Huh. So.
All right, 161 people eligible for this giveaway. Terry, what number are we going to draw?
Let's draw number 3.
Number 3. They're sorted by email address. 110, 124, 107. Congratulations, ooh. Mr. 107. Should I tell everyone
or Mrs.
who that is?
Mr. or Mrs. 107.
C.S. Cobb.
What?
Is that Chris Cobb? That is Chris Cobb.
It is.
Yeah, congratulations,
he's
Chris Cobb.
Something real special, including a special hug from me.
Oh.
The good kind.
The creepy ones that last too long? Okay. Yes. That's Terry nodding his head.
Yes. Absolutely.
Congratulations. So congratulations, Chris Cobb. I will get you the we'll get you the disc in a box. I'll put your name on it. It's upstairs. I'll write your name on that one, give it to Terry so he can pass it off to you whenever he gets that, whenever he does that. I don't know.
I like it. Yeah. And real quick, only because, and we'll talk about it more in the next couple of weeks, but super quick. The November 5th, there's going to be an event going on in the Milwaukee area. It's not sanctioned. It's out at a baseball field, Diamond and Oconomowoc area. That's going to be going down. There's going to be some disc golf guy vending and some other stuff. MIDI is going to be hosting it along with some others, beverages, food carts, all this other stuff is happening. I want to throw that out there. November 5th in the Milwaukee area, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. And then the week after, on November 12th, over at the Trimborn Farm, which is an event we had last year. It's going to be a temp course. They're going to have vendors, food trucks, merch, beer, and aces. Aces apparently are on the menu. They're on the flyer. So all that's going to be happening, and that is a Peter Green Fall Fundraiser. It's called the Peter Green Fall Fundraiser. I believe he's been diagnosed. He has stage 4 cancer of some kind, and I apologize, I don't know more details, but I do know that there's going to be a fundraiser, and that's ultimately what's the most important. So November 12th, holy cow, it's already a third full, and it just opened tonight. I just am now looking at it. So that's taking place. I just want to make sure people know it. You'll hear me talk about it in the next few weeks. But if you're in the Milwaukee area, both of those events, back-to-back weekends, November 5th, November 12th, will be going on. So I wanted everybody to know that. All right. David John says, can I get a hug in Samui? I owe you a ride and a PM if you want a place to stay. I think I got a place to stay, but we will definitely hug big time. Bigly, as they say. Bigly. When I get to Thailand next February. We're going to close it out. We got to thank, of course, the guys over at GK Pro. We talked to Luke. We talked to Isaac. And then thank you to Sean over at the Disc Golf Pro Tour. Thank you guys all for joining us in the
regular
show.
Go pay for that big money skins, $15.
Go pay for that big money skins. Get your action in and get excited about it. Thank you guys for joining us. It's been a fun night. I am genuinely excited about what's to come in the next few months before we kick off for the 2023 season. I've got a lot of things in the works, and I think a lot of people do. You're going to see some good stuff. So for Johnny V, I'm Terry Miller, the Disc Golf Guy. That's Podcast 425's After Show. We'll see you next week when you step inside the Smash Box.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.